Yesterday I made some outrageous, or perhaps I should say enrageous statements about this idea of seemingly random relationship. And I want to do a little further explanation and triage on that enrageous idea. So, what I want to talk about today is why relationship. It goes without saying, usually in the ego world and the persona world, relationship is thought of as a means to get this or that. Things that, quote, I, unquote, I, the persona, I, the ego, want. Right? So even when people talk about, quote, love relationships, unquote, right, they're thinking in those terms, usually. They are powerfully influenced and directed in their choices by egoic preferences and tendencies, usually, right? And then you go, when it comes to relationship, what does ego itself, as the directing force behind ego persona, what does ego itself want? Okay? Because this is what it will want in and from relationships, especially when it comes to intimate relationships. Whatever ego wants will be the same as what the persona wants or the ego-driven or dominated human soul wants. It will, for example, tend to want someone to, quote, have, unquote. Someone to, quote, own, unquote. Someone for me. Someone who is mine. Someone to be important to. Someone to be loved and fed and nourished and revered by. So, for example, you find, you know, in the rituals of ordinary, quote, love relationships, you find people ritually exchanging compliments and reverence and strokes, right? Someone to be loved and revered by, complimented by, ego boosted by, swelled head by, okay? Right? Someone to indulge with. Okay. On many levels, physical, emotional, psychological. Okay. Someone to be commiserated with. Someone to be collude with. Okay. Someone to control and manipulate and steer into providing what I, as their beloved, want. Right? Those are the kinds of purposes that ego and egoic persona has for relationship or intimate relationship, generally. Okay? But, of course, in spiritual reality, and in the true heart of a human being, every single human being, a relationship has other purposes. Purposes that are very different from the purposes we just described. Even in many ways opposite to those purposes. So, these are true spiritual purposes in direct and perfect opposition to egoic purposes, right? They are, in fact, ego transcending, liberating purposes. Soul freeing purposes. And true love purposes, which are of transcendent nature. That is to say, transcendent in relationship to what? The egoic persona and its purposes. Right? So therefore, any true relationship, whether it be a one-night stand, a two-night stand, or a 200-year stand, or a forever stand, is not, in fact, what ego would conceive it to be and want it for, but rather it is really to provide things that people really need. So when the ego says, well, I want a relationship for what I want and I need, even trying to infer in that that it is a soul need, right? But there is so much fuzzy logic and wangling and mangling in that, that true soul needs are actually not being taken into account very deeply in that, as the ego would itself like to imply. But what do people really need, you see, as souls? Okay, as hearts. This is the purpose of relationship, is to fulfill those needs. Right? People need love, it is true. And people need to love, it is true. Now, all that remains, because the ego would confirm this wholeheartedly, is the fact that the definition of love needs to be brought into a reality, a truth, in order for this to be correctly and accurately meaningful, that people need love, and they need to love. They need relief from ego. For example, when people get involved in relationship, they are constantly up against the heart needs that cannot possibly be removed entirely from closeness, intimacy, right? And the ego is frustrated and stymied in that context because the things that it wants to do and the way that it wants to do the things that it wants to do are found to be abhorrent by the true heart and the spirit. So, for example, typically people who are egoically driven have the highest priority on relationships that promise sensual pleasure or sexual indulgence. Right? And yet, when the person enters into that relationship and builds on that basis, right, the heart is broken by the very action and indulgence that was the primary motivator for involvement in that particular sex-based styled relationship, right? So the ego is running towards its own goals, and it hits the wall of the soul and the soul's sensitivities, bang. Okay? Or it wants someone to control, to manipulate, to get it to provide what I want. And in the very process of trying to then implement on that dream in the relationship, it hits the wall of the fact that the human being finds it abhorrent to be controlled. And even the heart of the controller feels bad about it. So that in the sex-based relationship, the person finds a sexual indulgence to be problematic, guilt-producing, discouraging, depressing. And conflict soon raises its ugly head in the greediness and the sexual differences between the people in terms of their libido, their desire for sex, and so forth. And it the whole sexual thing becomes a source of conflict, disappointment on various levels. You see, and the thing about being controlled results in resentments, conflict, rebellion, guilt and shame on the part of the would-be controller, the manipulator, right? Boom, the egoic plan or blueprint for the relationship, when implemented in real life, right, creates a huge variety of terrible problems and heartache and heartbreak, right? Showing that the true spiritual purpose of relationship is a valid one. Valid because its purpose is to liberate the person from the pain and suffering created by egoic tendencies themselves. That I try to do my thing in my way, and it brings us down, and it brings me down, and it creates suffering all around. Right? That experience, which is repetitive in egoic relationships, see, unavoidable, practically, in that context, right, is the exact experience from which the soul and the heart cry for liberation. And it is for the purpose of that particular liberation that relationships truly exist. Mm-hmm. Which is why true relationships are schools for ego transcendence. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They provide a good mirror which constantly shows the need for it, for ego transcendence. They provide a good mirror in which true soul resonance and true happy levels of pleasure and enjoyment are also shown, resonated, right? Distinguishing clearly between the kind of resonance that is collusion and confusion and indulgence, and the kind of resonance that is soul-satisfying, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Including the kind of pleasure that, in fact, is soul-satisfying because it is self-transcending. Sex, for example, right, in self-indulgent mode, is forever heartbreaking and disappointing. Mm-hmm. But, by the same token, sex which is open-hearted and is truly a gift and is actually self-transcending, ego-transcending in nature, which sex naturally is in the true natural spiritual form of sex, that is healing, uplifting, enjoyable, you see, good, clean fun at minimum, and profound spiritual blessing and beatitude at normal. To begin to see that everything that is valuable about relationship is ego transcending, not ego iterating,
right.
Not ego indulging. Right? So then, when I make the enrageous suggestion that people should engage in relationships in ways and for purposes that are not in any way ego-chosen, that are not essentially preference-based, and which do not in any particularly important way assuage the ego, but which definitely and immediately confound the ego in the same way as all relationships ultimately do, I am simply pointing to what love is and what relationship truly is in its actual form. a form so radically different from the ego's invention of relationship that it is virtually unrecognizable, and the persona cannot even identify with it as anything that it could want, or in fact does presently, or could ever want. True relationship is always like that in every one of its iterations. There is no true relationship that is not as confounding as that is to the ego persona. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Which is why anytime the ego enters into a relationship, even its most preciously chosen one, which so closely matches its lusts and desires and preferences, that relationship is as ego-transcending in its fundamental nature and ego-frustrating, right, in its actual implementation, as is any other relationship with your regular bag man and bag lady. Because of the nature of relationship, the nature of love, the accurate litmus test it is, the way that it confounds egoism at every turn, and which is why people go into abeyance about relationship ultimately, because they are so egotistical in their orientation that they find relationship insufferable, undoable. It can't be done by a person who is more than a certain amount egotistical. And even when they try, all they do is hit the wall of the heart, the soul, God, truth, reality. Bam! And they have no place in there as ego persona, because ego persona only mucks up and fucks up in relationship. Period. I can't fit in there as I. The one I believe myself to be, the one that I'm functioning as, and want, in fact, to continue to function as. It will not fit. It will not work. It will not prevail and avail in relationship. So I'm out. Right? For a true relationship, the purpose is true being, to love and to be loved, which is itself ego-transcending by definition. True seeing, which is what is seen in the mirror of relationship, the way that people respond and react to what I am doing, thinking, believing, intending, in that mirror, true seeing is occurring. Okay, people say, well, you don't love me because you are critical or you don't like what I'm doing or something. Well, actually, love would very easily and happily provide that kind of critical feedback. And in fact, if they don't, you could suspect that they really don't love you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they provide it, you would have very good reason to suspect that they really do love you and that they love you truly, with a true love. That is the one that would liberate you from what is causing you such pain, such misdirection, such suffering, which is causing you to even be a Johnny Appleseed of pain in your life by being an egoic persona, responding and reacting and thinking and believing in ways that are destructive and discouraging to yourself and to all others. Love would be that which would certainly be concerned to help liberate you from the incredible suffering that entails. So, if someone would collude in the way that the ego would have it be with that, with suffering creating patterns, or would ignore those, or would shine that on, that person is an enemy. You see, of your soul. And that person, you see, with friends like that, you don't need enemies. They are helping you hurt yourself and hurt others and destroy yourself. And that is not what friends are for. So, when we say this mirroring or feedback, the soul needs it, and relationship provides it. People need that up close and personal, in your face, resonance and dissonance, right? Mm-hmm. That feedback. They need healing and upliftment and higher consciousness that can come from sharing energy, right? Mm-hmm. Even in ways that are, shall we say, delightful and exciting. Right? They need that circle of energy. You can see that people thrive immediately whenever they get it. So I said a one-night stand is better than no stand at all. Mm-hmm. Divided we fall, united we one-night stand. Huh? At least we stand for one shining moment together. Huh? Better than none. Right? Mm-hmm. See, that was the enrageous statement I was making, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People need true feeling and true emotionality. This is a gift that is provided by true relationship. It is the purpose of relationship to allow the authentic expression of the soul through, mm-hmm. in part, true emotionality. Mm-hmm. True emotion, true devotion, true feeling. Mm-hmm. This is liberating. It's liberating to take the chains off the heart, the walls off, to let the walls down, to be authentically emotional feeling, you see, to be authentically expressive of all things, intimacy in its best, in its only true form, right? Authenticity, honesty at that high level. People need relief from delusion and confusion, okay? In relationship, in that two heads are better than one, okay? There is relief. There is the pondering. There's the true reflection. What about this? What should we think about this? How will we, you see, enter into this dialogue, which is enlightening, you see, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Invigorating, levitating. Mm-hmm. Dialogue. Mm-hmm. Soul to soul ponderings. Huh? Two people knocking at a door. If one was good, two will knock it down. Huh?
Yeah.
It won't be opened. It will be knocked down. By two little fists pounding at once. Huh? Yeah. And so, and the correction of bad habits of all kinds, the inspection and correction that happens in the mirror, that happens when there is honesty, when there is true knowing and true sharing, true reflection. Right? This is there. It is there in a one-night fucking stand. It is there in the face of your lover, even if it be a grimace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if it be a happy smile. It is there. You see? Bang! You can't deny that. It's in your fucking face. Okay? That, you see, mirror, beautiful, seeing, right? To see what there is to see, to have that reflected, you see, in the mirror, is a purpose of relationship, which is liberating, illuminating, invigorating. Consciousness, feeling, emotion, in the mirror, boom, together. Okay, these are the purposes. So now, you see, when you take that in mind, you see why this enrageous idea is not so entirely outrageous. Huh? It is simply a gesture towards truly meaningful relationship and its intended purpose, what it is, what it's for, what it's always been, what it will be. This is relationship. It has nothing to do with the ego agenda at all, other than to frustrate it, stymie it, you see, break it down, you see, fuck it up, you see, show it its own true, absolute impossibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's absolute wrongness. Mm-hmm. Absolute. You see? Mm-hmm. Against the wall of the heart, the wall of truth, the wall of the infinite. Mm-hmm. Huh? Bang! What is so is ego transcending relationship is the only true relationship. And it matters exactly zero in that whether your chosen partner or comrade is of your preference or not. Mm-hmm. I can assure you that if you are carrying the ego disease in your body, then every single relationship, whether it be with your absolute chosen Jesus Christ superstar, or whether it be with the bag man, okay, is equally confounding to the ego. Uh-huh. In no way is there any difference whatsoever when it comes to the realities of relationship. Only in a fantasy is there any appreciable difference when it comes to exactly how ego confounding and undesired every form of relationship actually is.
Wow.
You know. And God help you in a relationship with Jesus Christ superstar when the mirror is unerring. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not dusty. You know.
Yeah.
Not funhouse warped to make you taller, yeah. Fatter, thinner, twisted. Just the perfect. You do not want to enter into that anyhow, that way. No. Huh? So make no mistake, okay? Relationship is no place for an ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It never will be, and never has been. Mm-hmm. And it has always shown that. Mm-hmm. Infallibly. Okay? So therefore, my outrageous idea, you see, stands as a model of the meaning of love. The reality of love. The reality of relationship. Self-sacrifice. Ego transcendence. Love. You see. Liberation, seeing, true being. Huh? That is relationship. You know, everything else is idiot superior. An idiot superior never was and never will be relationship. It is simply an accident waiting to happen, or happening, or just having finished happened. Okay? That's all that is, okay? So come to see it now, huh? Come to know. That's it.